Karışta.
Karışta.
Are you the only one?
So far, yes.
Okay. Well, let's give it a few more minutes because I was running a little late anyway.
Okay. I actually was also, so I'm going to go on mute.
Okay.
Okay.
Anna had said, told me that she won't be on tonight. Karışta, good evening.
Good evening.
So I believe we're starting at verse 336. Is that correct? So we're going to start. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bit Hilur Himur Hilur Hilur Himu. Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kerenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kerenehu. Vayave Kain mi fri hadama kada umi pri aits amar rabbi Elazar mi pri hadama kada ol rasha ra ki kimul yadav wigomer kimul yadav Da malach hamavet yaseh lo ha'it meshach alayhu v'it dabak v'chol kadla lon usava lon v'yalda kain achriv mesit radilea Cain brought of the fruit of the earth, These words are parallel to the fruit of the tree. As the tree of knowledge is a representation of the evil serpent, so here he brought his offering from the evil serpent. Rabbi Elazar said, this fruit of the earth is similar to, alas, it shall be ill with the wicked, for according to the deserving of his hands shall be done to him. For of his hands refers to the angel of death, who is the deserving fruit of the deeds of the wicked. Because it was not for the sin, he would not have come to the world. Shall be done to him means that it is drawn to and cleaves to them, killing and defiling them. Hence the words, the fruit of the earth, indicates that Cain's offering came from his side, which meant it came from the serpent and the angel of death. Questions, comments, thoughts? Hannah is not here tonight, so if somebody doesn't feel like commenting or asking a question or feels like expressing their thoughts, it's a very we don't get into real depth on these verses. Malco, you're hard to hear. Are you far from the phone?
I'm not there. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, yes.
I'm sorry, I just came in from work and I'm caught the tail end of your commentary. So,
what I heard is, go ahead.
The last thing I caught was that the evil nation came from Cain.
What the verse is saying is Cain, who has a stronger connection to the evil inclination than Abel, that the sacrifice that he brought, which is described as the fruit of the earth, means that he was bringing items that were connected to the negative system.
Okay.
That he had injected the consciousness of the desire to receive for oneself alone into those offerings. I always get it confused whether Cain was bringing the animals to be sacrificed or the fruits of the ground. It says the fruit of the earth, so he was bringing plants. But he did his work of plowing, or he wasn't plowing yet, but throwing the seeds and watering, watching the rain, tilling the earth, all of the things that needed to be done, his consciousness was selfish. He was doing it for himself, and therefore what belonged to him takes on that consciousness. And so when he brought it to be sacrificed to God as a offering, God didn't accept it because the consciousness of what he was bringing was based on connecting to the other side. And God will never connect to the other side. He's always in conflict, trying to defeat the other side.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it faith kind of talking about our intentions of our offerings?
consciousness is the same as desire. Intention is a thought that you inject into a prayer, a mitzvah, an item. What you do, if you give a poor person a dollar, you need to inject a consciousness, an intention into that dollar. Why are you giving it to him? You can give it to him because you want to feel good about yourself. That's a desire to receive for oneself alone. Or you can give it to him because you know he needs it. And it's part of your tithing. That's an intention that's related to holiness. What people think about when they do each action, that's what goes into that item from the consciousness. That's what the meaning of the verses in Genesis that say man is in control of the physical world. So you can do everything you want with the physical world, but what your intention is, what your consciousness is at the moment you do the action, that's what goes into that and is carried to the spiritual worlds. It's also the same thing when you're drawing children. The intention of the father and the intention of the mother, the consciousness at the moment of their ejaculation on the male or the orgasm or lack of orgasm on the female, that all of that intention is injected into the sperm. And if the two consciousnesses are in unity, you're going to draw a higher soul than if the consciousnesses are about separation. Sometimes a couple doesn't want to be intimate. One half is angry about being forced, or not necessarily forced, but you know it's not something they want to be doing right now. And the other one is very much into having that relationship. Well, there's no unity in their consciousness. And that's true whatever your action is. Whatever you do, you need to inject a positive intention. But people don't know that, so they go about their life, oh, it's a miserable day, God forbid. And that's what they inject into the action that they do. Let's go into a restaurant and you sit at a table. And last week you went into that restaurant, sat at that table, and you were happy, and the whole environment was happy. That's because what was the people who sat at that table before you were injecting happiness and unity. But when you go in this day, a week later, you're feeling lousy. And that's what the table is feeling and connecting to. Because the table has one goal, one consciousness, is to have somebody eat from it. That's the nature and consciousness of a table. Just like a chair has a nature and consciousness to accept serving somebody by allowing them to sit on the chair. But what the person does, do you just plop down on the chair? Or do you sit down comfortably and thank the chair? Whatever you do, inject a consciousness, preferably a consciousness of positivity. And that's what this verse is hinting at. I'm sorry, Malka, I could hear you, but it didn't come through clearly.
When you say Hashem turned his face, what does that mean?
Oh, what has turned his face? When you're looking at someone, that's considered face-to-face, assuming they're looking back at you. But then you can have back-to-back, where you're neither one of you is looking at each other. So how do you get from face-to-face to back-to-back? You turn your face. It's the process of either going from back-to-back to face-to-face, or vice versa, face-to-face to back-to-back. That's the meaning of turning your face. So Cain was looking to God to accept his offering, and when it didn't, he turned his face, meaning he was no longer willing to deal with God positively. It's the same way many people in our world. God is so wonderful to me. I have all of these blessings. And then all of a sudden there's a problem. But instead of appreciating the problem as God sending him something to be able to cleanse, his attitude is God is angry with me. God doesn't love me anymore. So I won't talk to God anymore. Now, that doesn't happen right away, but it's a process that people go through because they don't want to recognize that everything comes from God. Not the bad that comes from God. The bad comes from the result of our own actions. But the good that comes from God is also the bad that comes from God, because it's the result of our own actions. So it's not really God who's doing it. He's just giving you the opportunity through his mercy to cleanse yourself so you don't have to have worse. And people don't want to recognize that. Everything's going along fine, but then your business fails, God forbid. Or you lose your job, God forbid. Or you don't have enough money to pay your bills, God forbid. What's your attitude? Is this coming from God? Do you see it as coming from God? Or do you see it as God has turned away from them? I hope that's clear and not confusing.
It is. Thank you.
Should I go on to this last verse, 338?
Sure.
Ugine kakatu vayahi biyotam basadeh daita kada'ati basadeh mitzadakayin latane al nukva. Yatera Vayikahele Dat Im Hevel Dikti Vatosef Laleget Behaitzmar. Hence it is written, and it came to pass when they were in the field. The word field here refers to a woman, as it was in, for he found her in the field. In which field also referred to a woman. By analogy, the field in the former verse also alludes to a woman. Cain was jealous of the additional twin girl born with Abel, as it is written, and she again bore to his, the Hebrew word is et, brother, and he again bore to his brother Abel. There's et before both the word brother and the word Abel. This double use of the particle et is a reference to the two girls born with Abel. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Did Cain have a twin as well?
Yes. In that generation and in the earlier generations, the men were born with twin sisters who were their soulmates. It was not difficult to find who you were supposed to marry. And so they were born with twin sisters.
So you're saying that Abel had a third sister, three girls and Abel, or was it two girls and Abel?
There were two girls and Abel, and there was one girl with Cain.
Oh,
and that's why the Midrash says that two went down, went to sleep, and seven got up. The two were Adam and Eve, who went down and were intimate, and they had five children, Cain, Abel, and the three girls.
Okay.
Now, there's a difference of opinion. Some say that the two twins that Abel was born with represented, just like Jacob had Rachel and Leah, they represented Malchut and Leah, Malchut and Bina. And so they represented that Abel had the capability not necessarily that he would achieve it, but the potential for him to achieve the spiritual growth, where the one, that one sister, the one wife, was connected to the lower early parts of his life before he grew spiritually. And then the other sister was connected to the higher level after he had grown spiritually. That's one understanding.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
With Jacob, you know, he had sons. And when these sons were born, were they twin girls or another?
Yes, they were born with twin girls, but their soulmates were mixed. Because as the generations came, it became more difficult to find your soulmate, such that today it's almost never that someone knows their true soulmate. But the 12 sons each had twin sisters, and they would marry each other's twins.
Okay, because I always wonder.
Where did the women come from for them to be married to be Jewish?
Right, I always wondering, where did they get their mate to be Jewish? Yeah. Okay, so Dana, I'm not sure how you say her name. Dina, was she also born with a soulmate as well, or was it just her?
No, because you have to remember, Leah had six sons, and then Dina. And Dina represents the Malchut, the six sons representing the Anakim, in that frame of Leah's children. So she was Malchut, which means she had no light of her own, which would indicate that she did not have a soulmate while the others did.
Gotcha. And, you know, I don't know whatever happened to her. Did she get, I think you had said previously some time back that Benjamin took her into his clan. Is that correct?
I've heard Issachar, I think different tribes married her. But I also heard that she was sold. She wasn't sold, but she became an adopted daughter to the wife of Potiphar in Egypt. And once a woman is raped, she has less value. So she became an adopted daughter to the woman Potiphar because the desire to receive for oneself alone, women in Egypt, the high class women, quote unquote, high class, did not want to have children because it would distort their bodies. And so they would adopt children, and so Dina was adopted by her. And then she had a daughter, a granddaughter of the wife, the woman of Potiphar, and that's who Joseph married.
Oh, so Joseph married Dina's granddaughter?
No, her Dina's daughter.
Dina's daughter. He married Dina's daughter. Okay. All right. So you think that Joseph arranged that adoption?
I don't think that he arranged the adoption, but there's no midrash that explains it, so I've never read anything that said who arranged it.
Okay.
Wow. All right. So basically, Jacob with Leah and Rachel also had other daughters through the birth of sons, but they were mixed. That's why you don't hear of them, correct?
Well, you don't hear of them because the female is included whenever you speak of the male.
Oh, wow.
A soul is male and female together. God created the structure of male and female being split before they come into the world so that they will search for each other to find each other and then reunify through under the chuppah, under the marriage canopy.
Right. Wow. That is amazing. Leah had tons of children. You know, six sons,
no,
and then twin daughters.
She had six, you know, only six births. Because the twin, you know, I'm getting myself into trouble here because I've never born children. But, you know, twins do come one after the other. It's not, you know, yes, it's harder to carry twins to term, but they do come out quickly within 3, 4, 5
right.
minutes of each other.
Oh, absolutely they do. You're correct. They do come out quickly. But, you know, she had many children other than the six sons or the four.
She had six sons and seven daughters.
Okay.
So she had 13 children, which is appropriate for the woman connected to Bina, because the Bina is connected to Chachma in unity, and the 13 children represents unity.
Wow.
The Torah doesn't say it explicitly, but the Midrashes come along and explain it. So we have it. That's why you need to study the Midrash as well as the Torah. That's why there's 10 levels of Torah to study daily. And that's why in the emails, when you click on the link to the Parasha of the Week, you find the connection to the Chok Yisrael daily, where you can study these 10 levels in 10, 15 minutes every day.
And where do we connect to? Is that not the Daily Zohar, but which link?
When I send an email once a week on Sundays, usually.
Oh, I don't think I get those. Do I?
If you're not getting it, you need to go to the Hashem website, and in the top right corner it says newsletter, and you need to put in your email address to connect to the newsletter. And that comes out once a week. And that gives you the energy of the parasha, and it gives you the 72 names, the energy of that week. And it's got a lot of information. Last week, somebody called and said, it's too much information. Don't give me all of it. So
I'm missing out. I didn't realize that. Okay. So Rachel also had girls as well with her two sons, correct?
Yes.
Rachel had
two sons. And two twins. Joseph had a twin, but when he was sold into slavery, Benjamin took that twin under his clan, and so he had two wives. And that's why Benjamin had 12 children.
Oh, Benjamin took his soulmate. Okay, he was sold in slavery.
Yeah.
Okay. So Benjamin had how many sons, you said?
Benjamin had 12 sons. When you read the censuses in the as you go through the Bible, there's three times that they take a census, and then you can see that Benjamin had 12 children.
Right. Yes.
They were all sons.
Yes, they were all sons.
Mm-hmm. But they had also,
they were also twins in that generation as well.
Right. So
but they, they didn't marry their twin sisters. They married their, their cousins. You have to remember the Torah wasn't given. So there were none of these regulations. None of these regulations that you couldn't intermarry, but they knew about genetics. They knew not to intermarry too often.
They could marry their cousins at the time?
In those generations before the giving of the Torah, yes.
Well, did they have any difficulties with that?
Say again?
Did they have any difficulties with that? I mean, any problems, mental or physical problems with that?
Because all of those ills, mental illness, physical illness, comes from spiritual mistakes. It doesn't come from genetics. The opportunity, the potential. It doesn't have to happen.
So, at that time, they didn't have any problems with that.
No, they didn't have doctors telling them, this is what it is, when the doctors really don't know, because the doctors are just looking at the body. They're not looking at the soul and the spiritual effect.
Can you tell me the name of the one that had 13 children, seven sons, and
seven
daughters?
Is Leah.
Oh, it was Leah?
Jacob
and Leah?
It was Leah, yes.
Wow.
So Dina married an Egyptian.
Who?
Dina, she married an Egyptian.
The midwife was not clear. It just said that she had a child.
Okay.
The assumption would be that she married it, but in Egypt, with all of the corruption, she could very well have been impregnated by her mother's husband. You just don't know.
Mm.
And it's another reason why the Orthodox community follows the mother to determine who is Jewish, but follows the father to determine the tribe.
So she could have been impregnated by her father? Wow.
In Egypt, with all of that corruption, yes, it is possible. I'm not saying it happened. I don't know. I've never read anything. The epitome of Egypt is the desire to receive for oneself alone.
There is no sharing?
In Egypt at that time, no.
That's the mistake
that so many people make. That they think that the way we are today is the way they were in the biblical times. And the way they were before the biblical times. Even in prehistory days. But there's been spiritual growth. We started out selfish, and somebody who's sharing has grown spiritually, and others have not grown quite as much. Anyway, we're running out of time.
I have one last question.
Go ahead.
I have one last question. So if that's the case, then Joseph married Dinah's daughter. So Ephraim and Manasseh are not mixed. They're of pure Jewish blood.
Each of the tribes have child of Israel consciousness on both parents. That's correct.
Okay, that makes so much sense. Okay. Well, I feel like a weight's been lifted off of me because I always wondered how that could be.
Do most of the people today know what tribe they're out of?
None of them know what tribe their soul is. Their bodies come from the tribe of Judah, if they follow the Orthodox tradition.
And if they follow Reform, then what? Or conservative?
If they follow conservative, or they follow conservative, they have the same approach. The conservative, well, it's changing recently, but the Reform for the last 20-some years has accepted paternal descent. So they don't know what tribe the bodies are in those situations. But they're clearly tribes. So, you know, the paternal descent is accepted by the Reform movement, and there is a basis to understand it logically. I'm not saying that it is correct. I'm saying there's a basis to understand it logically. Because if the father is Jewish, then there's a relationship to the tribe. Even if the mother is not.
Even if the mother is not Jewish?
Correct.
I thought the child goes with the mother's faith, whatever that was, but...
What you have been taught and what you have learned over the years in Kabbalah, you have a totally different approach. What most people are taught is that a child with the mother, you know who the mother is. You can never be sure of the father. So they were never accepting of that. But in the olden days, in biblical days, child coming from the mother, that was acceptable as a child of Israel. But the tribe that child belonged to depended on his father. Today, most of the children of Israel that are knowledgeable, the Jewish, are coming from the tribe of Yehuda. But for other people who are converts, other people who are following a spiritual path, we don't know what tribe they're connected to. They don't either.
Well, I know my father was a Cohen, but I don't know anything beyond that.
Well, you know your mother was Jewish, though, because he wouldn't have married someone who wasn't Jewish.
No, she was.
So, you know, that's the lineal descent. It has to be followed according to the rabbis. And the only time it matters is when two people are getting married. Everybody have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.